Welcome to the Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Hani Rambod, and I'm here with none other than Freddie Ndu. Freddie, my friend.
My man.
Brother, I know we've been talking about getting together to do another podcast. For those of you that don't know Freddie, Freddie is a master of ceremonies. He was here when we did the CBUM event. You were the MC. You also do so much. The biggest thing you do that I know of is the Texas Pro.
Yes.
The Texas Pro, you're co-promoter there, and you guys are been scaling it up, building it up. And let's talk about that a little bit.
Yep.
I want to give you a chance to talk about what's different. And then I want to talk about what's been going on, because we have the Brazil Pro coming. Mm-hmm. We also have, as long as the guys make sure that they edit this thing in time, it doesn't end up being, you know, too far behind. but we got Brazil Pro. Then after that, we have Pittsburgh Pro.
Yes.
That you and I will both be at.
Yes.
And then out of my crew, you're going to have Derek Lunsford there. You're going to have CBUM there. CBUM's getting ready to have this baby this week.
Is he guest posing?
Derek, yes. CBUM, no.
Why not?
Because he's in baby making mode, bro.
Doesn't matter. Baby's already made. It's cooking. It's about to pop. You know what I mean?
Right now, he's having peak week right now with his wife. I said that in the comments.
Congrats to CBUM.
And Courtney. Yeah. Yes, yes. They're literally just days away from having their baby. It's literally peak week for them. I told him, bring the potatoes. I told Calvin, his videographer, you bring the camera, I'll bring the potatoes.
Nice.
So they're getting ready to have that baby. And what's cool is the fact that both of my athletes that have won the Olympia this last year are both having children.
Yes.
So you had a couple of months ago with Derek.
Yep.
You know, Derek and Jelson.
Yes.
And they had welcomed their new baby girl and Evie. And then now CBUM and Courtney.
Yes.
And I will not spill the beans on the name. I'll let them be able to
let them do it, please.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
But they're, you know, again, this week they're having that. And then I think that as long as everything goes well and everything is really easy, then I believe CBUM was planning on making it to Pittsburgh yeah. so that he can come out to Jim's event. That's going to be awesome because everyone's guest posing.
Yes.
And then it's literally a week before Big Steve's show.
Yep, New York Pro.
New York Pro. And then we're going to see Nick Walker, who hasn't been on stage for a while, mm-hmm. seeing him back after his injury.
Yep.
So again, I think that's the big one where everybody is totally dying to see.
Yeah, Nick has something to prove. You know, I think I saw a post that he said, a picture can only do so much. I have to come back and prove something. So excited to see Nick on that New York Pro stage.
Yeah, and I don't know the other competitors yet. I heard Nexzilla's doing it.
Is he?
I heard that there's some others that are doing it, but I didn't get the official list, because you know the official list doesn't really come out till the week before. But I mean, Nick Walker is enough, and then who knows from the list from this weekend from Brazil, mm-hmm, who's doing mm-hmm. it? Because you have Rafael Brandão, who's the favorite going into it right now.
Yep, from Brazil, right?
Correct. And then we have Jonathan Del Rosa, who's made some massive improvements.
Yes, he looks good.
And then Tonio Burton, who's also somebody who's going to be right up there battling it out.
Very dangerous.
And then the newcomer to the group, Vitaly Gudvido. So he is basically going to show, I think this is his pro debut.
Okay.
So this is, you know, he's freaky, big round muscle belly. So we'll see definitely what that looks like.
Sure.
And see if he can push some of those top guys like Jonathan, Tonio, and Rafael.
Okay.
A lot of other names in there, but I think those guys have to be proven.
I would agree.
Whoever doesn't make it here, I believe is going to roll into the New York Pro.
Yes.
I believe. But the New York Pro is all going to be about Nick Walker. It's going to be Nick Walker versus the world. And that's going to be cool.
As it should be.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of Nick. Nick's a freak.
Me too.
I was there when he won his pro card. You know, he came out to game over, a little flip. So, I mean, I'm a fan. This guy's grown. Nick is a true, when you think bodybuilding, you think beasts, you think monsters. And he resembles that, so.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make it to the Pittsburgh Pro, but if he does, you know, obviously 100% he's going to be guest posing if he's there.
Yeah.
And so you'll get to see a little bit of a preview.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So Derek is going to be there as well. Obviously, he's not going to be a week out from, you know, because he's
going to be peaking. He looks good. He did that photo shoot on the beach. Man,
yes, with TLF.
Wow, he looks amazing. Sponsor.
Yeah,
he's on. I mean, I know he has something to prove as his first title, so I think this is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, he's motivated as hell.
Yeah,
because after seeing Hadi
at
the Arnold and
congrats on that, by the way, two back to back wins, man. I know it's hard for Hadi to get here, but you guys hard.
The movie Argo Part Two. Yeah. It's like it's always something. And then on top of that, then the UK and it was definitely very, very difficult. But it shows that his, you know, mindset, guy like that,
it just goes
nuts. But going back to Derek is somebody who now is more motivated than ever.
Absolutely.
Because after winning the Olympia, then now Hadi coming in his all-time best. Now Derek wants to come in at his all-time best and come in just even. It's just like, it reminds me of Ronnie and Jay.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like them pushing each other, you know, or Phil and Kai or Phil and Jay when they were kind of going back and forth. Mostly, I would say a Phil and Kai or a Ronnie and Jay because those guys were really battling it out. And I think that they just push each other to make each other better because of that hunger.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, he did the photo shoot with TLF in the beach. Looks great.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Still has lines. Still is full. I mean, he looks good. Still has shape. I mean, in your mind, like, what is Hani's mind when these guys are battling out on stage? Like, what are you going through in your mind? Like, I see you pacing backstage.
Backstage or front stage, side stage. I'm running around doing cardio.
You're taking
20,000 steps.
Like, 20,000 steps. You're taking a knee. You're running backstage. I'm like, what? Like, what are you? Like, what? Yeah. What are you thinking about?
Well, I'm just trying to make sure everybody is set. When you have a dynamic show like the Olympia, which the guys aren't getting on stage till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And there's sometimes, because of all the classes that are going on, you have this wide range that they could step on stage in terms of timing.
Yeah.
You got to try to turn around and be able to say, okay, I'm not going to have an optimal peak of 15 or 10 minutes. You have a 2-hour window, you know, if you're lucky, 1 hour. And so what's happening is all I'm trying to do is just make sure that everybody's set up, their color's right, oil's right, food is right, everything is going into it. And so that whatever I'm trying to do in terms of peaking allows my two guys to be there at the end.
Yeah.
Right. To try to be in the battle and then doing whatever they can do to be able to really be there at the end. So in my head, somebody asked me this the other day when I was in the UK.
Is it anxiety? Is it stress? Like, what is it?
It's stress.
Stress.
It's stress.
Right? Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's stress, but not like a nervous stress, just a stress of how many things do I have to think about
absolutely
at that given moment, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm going through the whole checklist in my head, right? Like, when's the next time? When was the last time they ate? When was the last time they drank? When was the last time that, you know, that they had just their color looked at to make sure everything is good? Because, again, all of these things matter, man. All of these things matter. And is there anything else that I need to tell that specific athlete?
Sure.
And it would be very different. Like, what I would have to tell Derek versus what I have to tell Hadi versus what I would have to tell anybody else.
Chris Bumstead, right before that, winning his title, you know, and now he's going for number 6. Like, your brain is mush. Like, man, kudos to you for doing what you can. Not many people can operate in that level of, you know what I mean, like focus, but you've done it. You know what I mean? And like, the number of titles that you've put together is absolutely crazy.
No, I appreciate it, brother. I think that what it really boils down to is just making sure I can turn off the noise.
Yes.
That's what makes the difference. And I think that what has allowed me to level up in the last several years is just being able to turn off all the rest of the noise for that given time.
Yeah.
Whether it's 3 months before the show, then in 2 months, and then the last week, the last 3 hours, the last 3 days, all of those things, you have to be able to really focus. And I feel like I've gotten better at being able to handle my stress and being able to compartmentalize. And I think that's allowed me to be able to create better outcomes because I'm making better decisions.
For sure.
But it's just a matter of not allowing your anxiety and your stress to get to you.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, let's think of it pragmatically. What's going on with the physique, you know, after you give them? I mean, you competed. You were at the Olympia level.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you've won several pro shows. Yes. How many shows did you win? At least two, right?
Two, for sure, yeah.
And so in men's physique. And I think that some people are just really happy to be there. And that's okay. Mm. And they're just like, hey, look, dude, I'm just all my goal right now is to just get to the Olympia. Then you have others that say, okay, I've proven that I belong here. Now I want to be in the top 10 or the top 5. And then you have others that say, look, I'm really battling this out. I know I could win this.
Mm.
And I feel like the people that are really strong mentally are the ones that are telling themselves, I could win this.
Okay.
And then they're willing to not self-sabotage, because the number one issue that athletes get to and have at this level is that they are trying to find an out. And what I mean by that is that they find something to allow themselves to check out and self-sabotage.
Got it.
And it could be diet related, or I'm not going to do my cardio,
yep.
I'm, you know, oh, I didn't get all of my meals in, so today I'm not going to train, or I'm not going to train as hard. Something,
for
some
sure.
reason
for sure.
to turn around and bitch out about cardio training, continuing the diet. Those stresses that fall upon you as a competitor, especially at the highest level,
absolutely,
are going to either strengthen you or they're going to crack you. And I think most people, that's what's happened. And that's why a lot of people with amazing genetics didn't work out winning the Olympia.
Let's just touch on something. You said stressors, right? That break people. And you know, one of the stressors for me, 2016, and you've been to multiple. When was your first Olympia?
Oh, God, I can't even remember that far back. 1990, I want to say it was either 96, maybe?
96. So
maybe 96 or 98.
A decade and some, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So in 2016, right, this was when Instagram maybe existed, right? What I'm getting to is, as an athlete, I was trying to focus backstage. You know, I'm sitting next to Big Ramy chomping down on 16 potatoes, right? And next thing you know, Sylvester Stallone walks in front of me, and I'm trying to keep my pump, right? And then Arnold walks right by me. And then Phil walks right by me. And then who was it? And then The Rock. I think that's when he got up on stage and did his whole, like, I, you know what I mean? So, again, that was me trying to focus on my first Olympia.
That was a 16, I think.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah. I was there backstage. I'm telling you, I lost my pump. I was like, forget this. Let me just get on stage right now, right? Now, in today's world, right, you have people doing selfies and Instagram and video posts, and if you see a Brazilian, and you know, let's talk in Portuguese and give my people back home in India a shout out. So what is that stressor when the change of environment and where Instagram and bodybuilding lives today, has it affected our athletes?
100%. I think, I don't know how much it affects it for the good or bad. I think it changes the narrative.
Yeah.
Because so many people are backstage now, and they're doing lives, or they're doing selfies, or they're thinking social media. And not to take anything away from that, but you're there for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Win the effing show. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Focus on being the best version of you. You know, is your tan right? Am I oiled up? Am I making sure that I'm going to keep all of my body parts? Like, am I keeping my midsection tight when I'm walking up on stage? Am I going to make sure I'm going to really hit those abs in that vacuum? Am I going to make sure I don't lax up on my legs when I do a front double bicep?
Yeah.
All of the things that you need to go through in your head. If you're thinking about, oh my God, I got to go get a selfie with somebody. I don't know. For me, I come from the old school Dorian Yates background, where all you should be worried about is your show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, back then, nobody even took off their clothes until it was time to get ready for a show.
True.
Right? When I was competing back in the day, forever ago, quarter century ago, I was like the same way. I know. I wish I wasn't, because I would have had a lot more pictures and a lot more things of saying, hey man, you know, yeah, true. I was a natural bodybuilder. I was 151 pounds on stage. But at the end, I should have been proud of what I did, but it was never good enough. So that I was just like, you know what? You always wear the sweatshirt until you take it off. And then maybe you wear a stringer for a couple of days after the show, because that's when you look your best, because you got that sodium pump and you're still tight, at least for that week. And then after that, sweatshirt goes back on, and then it's time to, you know, try and grow again.
True.
But I feel that nowadays, those people that are worried about doing that, and again, me and Phil joke about it, because it happened at the Ironman in 2008. He was on stage and people were trying to take selfies with him, and it was during prejudging.
Mm.
And we were joking. I'm like, dude, get back on stage.
Yeah, yeah,
they're gonna call you out.
Yeah.
And he's like, bro, the guy was trying to take a photo with me. And I'm like, yeah, but you guys are still competing.
Exactly.
We have prejudging going on. And he goes in there and obviously he smokes the show, but he ended up just laughing. We still laugh about it because people were just happy to be there.
Correct.
And there were like fans that were competing against him that were doing pictures with him. But I'm just like, that's not the right time or place.
Exactly.
Do it backstage after prejudging, before the night show or after the night show. Get those photos then. Do some cool stuff. Do a little videos. Do, you know, some selfies. Do some boomerangs. Whatever it is you're going to do. But focus on the damn show, because you have a job at hand.
Correct.
Come in your absolute best. Come in at the highest placing possible. And then turn around and worry about your social media.
Yeah, Yeah.
So that's just my thought process. But again, many others don't think the same way because they're just there for content.
Yeah.
And again, it's, I'm so nothing be it. Against
you know,
it.
That's what I was talking about, the out. Like I saw very few people like, you know, C-Bum, Ryan Terry, as a matter of fact, you know, he represents the UK and England. Like this guy didn't pick up his phone. He's, you know, he stayed there, pumped up, looked at his chest. Mm-hmm. He was, so there are very few folks that still keep this mentality of like the Dorian Yates, like I'm focused. I'm here to win, you know, and Ryan Terry did what he was supposed to do. Right. He won the Mr. Olympia the very first time. And what a comeback story there. So I think that's an out there too, you know, absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And Ryan looked amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that he was just a little bit before his time.
Yes.
Early on.
Yes.
And now I think he's just hit his stride. Yes. So we'll see how that looks coming up for this Olympia. But and a super good guy, great family man.
I love him.
Yeah,
love him.
He's a great guy. We got to actually get him on the podcast. Bring him out to Dallas.
Ryan Terry, come on the podcast.
Yeah, get on the podcast.
Maybe I'll bring him down for a Texas Pro. Let's see if he's available.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's going to be in a couple different spots. I think he's going to be in Mexico. I know there's that Fit Weekend coming up in Mexico coming up. I believe I saw his name on there too. Derek's going to be out there. I'm going to try to make it out there. But yeah, I think that, again, he's going out there and he's just really helping promote the sport, which I love. And I think that he's a great representative. And I think that going forward, it's really about just making sure that you don't self-sabotage. That's
exactly
the bottom line.
Because
that's where you kind of just want to create a situation where it takes alleviates the pressure off of you. And I think so many people had done that. I would love to bring Flex Wheeler on because I don't think that there was anybody that had more pressure on him to win the Mr. Olympia because of his God-given genetics than someone like Flex Wheeler. Not even Kevin Lebroni. I think Flex Wheeler was the most genetically gifted athlete in the world and in the history of bodybuilding in a lot of ways. And I feel like a lot of that pressure really probably got to him. And I know that him and I have talked about some little things here and there in passing, but I definitely would love to hear how he thinks of it now compared to where it was 20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, I know he's tried to come out to the Texas Pro for the past 2 years now. So maybe we'll bring him down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we got to get him out here to Dallas. And the great thing about Dallas is that all you need is a long layover. We're 12 minutes away from the airport.
Talking about laying over in Dallas, you know, like, you know what? This is the truth. Let's talk about something else, all right? We're talking about bodybuilding. We can go about bodybuilding all day. You had the People's Champ in this same building. The Rock was here.
Yes.
He was at your gym.
Yeah, he came by. But what was cool about it is the fact that it was when Hottie was getting ready for the
UK. Yep.
And he came in on a late night, got a workout in, and he's always super, super nice. Everybody asks, is he really that nice? Absolutely he is. But what was also really cool is the fact that he right now has become a heel. In the WWE, he's become a bad guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So we have WWE. You have that gigantic WrestleMania coming in.
Coming up.
And it's supposed to be like the biggest WrestleMania ever, the biggest buildup ever. He's literally beating people's asses on every week to week.
He spanked Cody's bad.
Cody just got literally not only bitch slapped, but he got bitch bled.
Yes.
I mean, he just tore him up. So if you guys follow any of that, they have really recreated it. I mean, there was a lot of cool things that have happened with the storyline with WWE, with The Rock getting his name back, you know, or owning his name and then being, you know, a part of the board.
Yep.
With TKO and WWE, the company's public. He has so much say in it. And being able to follow all of that and then being able to see him now build up to this whole, you know, WrestleMania. And being able to do this tag team that he's doing with Roman Reigns.
Yep.
It's just like, it brings back a lot of memories when I was a kid, because I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid. And now it's just the storylines. And, you know, even my son, we got a chance to go out to watch while they were here. And
Nice.
Yeah, so we went to I guess it was Raw. And it was just one of those things where it was just, there wasn't a seat left in the entire building at the
never
American
is
Airlines.
When he shows up. Never it, is when he shows
it
up.
It was literally like to the rafters. Right. Never is, it was completely, completely full. And it's electric. And when, you know,
the most electrifying man in entertainment. That's what they call reason.
When he gets announced and he starts off with, can you smell? And then all of a sudden everyone just goes nuts.
Yeah.
It goes nuts. And but like I said, I looked up, I looked to the left, I looked to the right, and I'm like, wow. this is crazy. 22,500 people had that place completely packed from top to bottom. And I don't know how big they're estimating the Philly event.
Yes, know, the WrestleMania. It's pretty big. You know, when it came to Dallas in 2003, I emptied out my savings account. I sat second row.
Oh, you went?
I went. Oh, it was my birthday because tomorrow's my birthday, April 3rd.
I know. I was going to allow me to tell you, happy birthday. Happy you. Early birthday.
Thank you. So
when it tomorrow came, you're going to be 25, right?
25 again. I'll take that. So it came to Dallas April 3rd, 2003, and I sat second row ringside, and John Cena was getting an ass beat, and The Rock came out. We had no fucking idea. I lost my shit. And when was it? 2020, I think? WrestleMania came back, and I sat ringside again, and I saw The Rock's mom. We were hoping he'd come back, but he didn't. So The Rock's mom was there. She had security with her. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, all the All-Stars were there. But The Rock, one thing I want to point out, I don't know if this was on script or off script, but he posted something where he said, you know, F the WWE script, you know, and he kept spanking the shit out of Cody. Like,
oh, you're talking about this week?
Yeah.
That was on Monday.
Yeah, he went off script. Like, even when he slapped, like, Cody said something about The Rock's family and heritage, which pissed him off, which is where all this started a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And The Rock bitch slapped him on stage. Like, they were supposed to be there just to face off and take photos. Rock bitch slapped him, and then now he just belt with him. This guy was bleeding. Like, but you think because he's part of TKO, like he's able to call, like, you know, FU script and do his own thing right now? Because this is Raw, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's what I think the people are drawn towards.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. So we're gonna throw in a couple of second clip on this, and hopefully it won't, you know, end up having any copyright infringements. But what happens is he literally takes the weightlifting belt off of him.
Is that an Evogen belt?
That's not an Evogen belt. I was like,
that should be an Evogen belt.
Yeah, and then he's got the belt. It's a big white belt, and he ends up just spanking the hell out of him. Blood stains all over, and it says F that, and he puts up the F-U-C-K.
Yeah.
And he says, I say it the way I want to say it. I do it the way I want to do it. My choice, our choice. F your clear.
Yeah, I guess.
Now he's signing everything final boss. That's next level.
Yeah.
When you start calling yourself the final boss, only someone like DJ can call himself the final boss.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And also you can tell he is training his ass off.
Yeah.
So shout out to him and Dave for working on his program, going next level, because he's looking super 3D.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. Maybe you can talk him into doing the Texas Pro. You know,
I would love.
Can we get him an invite? Tyler, can we get an invite? Special invite? Special invitation?
we can make sure that happens. Yeah.
We'll get him a special invite.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, he is looking jacked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's definitely going next level.
I'm not going to call DJ out. Like, I respect. How old is he? Do you know how old he is?
Yeah. He's a couple years older than me. So he's like about 52.
Wow.
Yeah.
50, I'm looking like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys gonna look it up? I think he's about 51. So he'll be 52 actually May 2nd.
Wow.
So yeah, I was close. Yeah, he's a couple years older than me.
Man, and
he's just
like
a couple
that.
Inches taller than me too.
Both of us.
That's it.
Nah, man. This guy. I mean, that's cool. That's cool that you have him. That you had him here.
Well, he just, you know, again, the guys. Dave. Yep. Dave was here too, and you know, with this gym is designed for a sanctuary,
yes,
for those that are close to
us,
you know. Yep. So you know, we consider them family. So it's whenever they're in town,
that's
absolutely
cool. That was cool.
And
next time, call me, man. I'll pick them up. You know, I got an Escalade. I can pick them up.
Try and drive them around.
I'll drive them around.
You can be part of the security detail.
Oh, yeah. My wife's like, if he looks at me, I'll cheat on you with him. I'm like,
yeah.
Cool.
You know? But yeah, but you know, and the other thing is that kudos to Danny Garcia, bro. Look,
yes,
Danny, and she doesn't get enough in terms of the attention she deserves for and the accolades for all of the things she's done. Because when you look at it, you have somebody who's your ex-husband that you're still business partners with. She's married to Dave
Respect Renzi. Respect to that.
Respect to that, because look, who has the ability to, I mean, people get married, they don't get along.
Exactly.
They get in an argument, they don't talk to each other for a week.
Yeah.
Right? But somebody who, they turn around, they had a child together. Simone, shout out to her because she's now in
the
WWE.
Wrestling world.
She's in the wrestling world because it just runs in their blood. And then you turn around and you have such this crazy, amazing dynamic that you have Danny, who, again, the female final boss, right?
Absolutely.
The female final boss.
Absolutely is.
And then she goes out there and she buys the XFL. Okay. Obviously with her and her team as well as Dwayne. But again, she is the person that is the architect when it comes to things.
Yeah.
And I had the privilege to be around them a lot and being able to see how she puts things together and everything.
She's also an IFBB pro.
She is.
She is, right? She is. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
she is.
Yes.
And so her and Dave.
Yes.
Dave's also an IFBB
pro. I was there when Dave won his pro card. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yep. We got him his pro card in Classic. Actually, for those that don't remember, he is my only other Classic athlete outside of CBUM.
So nice.
He's my first Classic.
Nice. I didn't know you trained him. Okay. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I got him ready. And for years we were working together to try to set up something, and he had several big injuries, random injuries, but we ended up doing it during the pandemic, and then he ended up doing a show in Orlando.
Yes, I was there at Nationals. Yes, and he won,
and he ended up winning that, getting his pro card, and it was awesome. And then
Denny was there too. Yes, she was. Yeah,
yeah,
she
they were both there. Yes. And I did it remotely, and they kept sending, and Dave is amazing because he would always just be right on time with his pictures. Mm. I wouldn't have to ask twice about him. He'd be like, okay, morning, noon, and night, what time do you need it? I needed it, you know, right when you get up in the morning. I need it right after your third meal, and then I need it before you go to bed. Boom, boom, boom. It was always just like a Swiss watch.
Yep.
Dave is really, really so coachable. And he's a great coach too, because he works with a lot of athletes, a lot of pro athletes. And the thing about it is the fact that we got to use their gym, Danny and Dave's gym, when we were at the Orlando.
Okay.
You know, their private gym, which is awesome. So we trained CBUM there, St. Hottie there, and Derek there. And the cool thing about it is the fact that going back to Danny, dude, amazing, because I get to see her last week, and she was at the NASDAQ exchange, and she's ringing the bell. And
respect for that.
I mean, talk about going absolutely next level. So, again, kudos to them, their team. They have so much going on, all the partnerships, all the brands that they own together.
Yep.
And I feel like what's really cool about the whole situation is that they're still grounded and being able to, even though they're working on all of these things. And they were also part of the Phil Heath documentary.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I saw that.
You know, that finally released.
That, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Have you had a chance to watch it yet?
No.
You got to watch it, because it just opened up a couple days ago.
Tonight. I'm watching it tonight.
There you go.
I had to watch Godzilla Kong, and then I'm going to watch this.
You know what? We saw that over the weekend.
That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good movie.
It was
movie.
Good. Yeah. Cameron picked it.
Yes.
We went out there. We watched it. Godzilla Kong. I definitely give that about a 9 out of 10.
I do too.
Yes.
I do too. It was
that,
good.
That was good. We should do some movie reviews on this.
Yeah.
If you guys want to see us do movie reviews, go into the comments. But I think that what is really cool about it is that they were just here for the XFL.
For the opening, yes.
Yes. So they were here for the XFL. Well, and now it's the UFL, right? So let's get it right. And then they combined XFL along with the XFL along with the USFL is now the UFL.
Yep.
And being able to do that and create that spring football league. So many of last year, many of their athletes ended up going into the NFL.
NFL, I saw that. Yeah, the drafts were crazy.
Yeah,
so.
It was awesome because
it
gives that feeder system. Yes. So it gives people a second shot of getting back into the NFL who didn't get in right out of college.
Yes.
So, or maybe somebody had dropped off, got hurt, and then all of a sudden reestablished themselves and then be able to build back up again. So, and now with the different, you know, the leagues combined, that's super awesome. But again, seeing Danny go through all of those things, and she's so focused.
Respect to her. I mean, whatever she's done, she's so grounded, like you said. And they did this, I think in one of her earlier posts, she mentioned that they did this for second chances. Everybody deserves a second or third chance. So this is all for the second. And, you know, when you said she was grounded, I saw a video of her shaking all the cheerleaders' hands. Like, which owner does that? I mean, no offense. I'm not trying to pick on any other owner. You know, there are very few owners that are grounded like that as well. Talking about Texas, one last thing.
Yep.
Dude. I'm a huge fan of boxing. You know what's coming into our back?
Yes.
Here? Mike Tyson.
Tyson.
Do we
Tyson.
Even talk about the other name, or just talk about Tyson whooping this other guy?
Come on, Jake Paul, bro. I
like
give
Jake.
Him a little bit of love.
I like Jake.
Here's the thing. Jake has definitely moved up the ranks.
Yes.
His skills have gotten better. Can we agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we agree that Jake Paul, he is, what is he, 30 years? Is it really 30-year difference? Holy shit. 30-year difference between 57, Mike Tyson, 27. The stats are fights, Mike Tyson, 58 fights. Jake Paul, 10. Wins, Mike Tyson is at 50 and Jake Paul, 9. Losses, 6 for Mike Tyson, 1 for Jake Paul. No contests, 2 for Mike Tyson, none for Jake Paul. Knockouts, 44
Tyson
for Iron Mike. Jake Paul, 6, the height, 5'10 versus 6'1.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to matter much. Weight, what is that? I can't see the weight.
155 to 145.
Right, and obviously that's what their fighting weight was. Yeah. I guarantee you that's going to change a bit, because that might have been Mike's old weight.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see how much he drops down to. Take it back to the page, guys. And then, oh, I like the Instagram followers. The guys pulled up the Instagram followers. 24 million on Mike and 26 million for Jake. So that's a close one. And we got the Problem Child versus Iron Mike Tyson.
Yep.
So, okay, so I have the thing is, everybody in my generation wants Mike to whoop his ass.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they're like, okay, now is the time to be able to beat it. But I'll be honest, I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think, only because Jake is young.
Yes.
He's become a much better fighter. But like I said, most people think that Mike is going to beat his ass or want him to beat his ass. I think so. What do you think?
Mike Tyson posted a few videos of him throwing up a few jabs, and his speed is still definitely relevant. Relevant, man, a Tyson punch, a Tyson knockout is a Tyson knockout. I mean, I don't know. They call him Iron Mike for a reason.
Mike throws with his hips.
Yes.
Right? And when he throws with his hips, that's where all that power comes from. And when I saw the videos of what you're talking about, it's got 6-7 million views. He's right here. He's just tearing it up.
Yeah.
And again, those aren't sped up. That's Mike right now.
His speed right now.
Right.
That's
now.
What I'm talking about.
And the reason why I know, because sometimes some of these fighters, they speed up their, you know, the videos to try to make it look impressive. And the way you can really tell is the background.
Yes.
Right. So whether it's the person that they're sparring with or it's like the background, if the guy's walking through the background and you can sit there and say, oh, okay, the guy's walking in normal speed.
Yes.
You can tell it's not sped up.
Yes.
And then he's going at it. And he looks like he's leaning out right now.
Yep.
You know?
He's shredded. He got abs.
Yeah, man. We got to send him some Evigen.
Send him some Evigen.
He has a little EVP Extreme on there.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, but believe me, I would love to see what the betting odds are. What do you think the betting odds are on that?
I don't know, but I'm betting on Mike. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Arlington AT&T Stadium. Okay. It's exactly where.
It's going to be live on Netflix as well.
July 20th.
Yep.
It's right a couple of weeks before your show.
Yep. We should go.
Man, that place is going to be packed.
We should go.
Good luck getting good seats.
I'll get good seats. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we gotta turn around and, man, this is going to be a good fight.
It is going to be a good fight. It's going to be a damn good fight. I mean, Jake, kudos to Jake. He's a doer fighter. I like him. I mean, his brother Logan's part of the WWE, and he's, you know, his name is growing as well.
Yep.
You know, so
they both you know shout out to both of them for evolving.
Yes.
They have evolved from just the basic I want to be a YouTuber.
Yep.
I mean, Jake is still working his ass off as a boxer.
Correct.
And I think you got to give him some respect for that.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can this legend bring it back and turn around and
There's been a lot of stories. George Foreman knocked somebody out. You know what I mean? I came back from retirement. Mike Tyson might just do this. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Pound for pound, Mike Tyson's punch is a knockout punch. That's it. If he gets caught in one of those, it's game over. You know?
I'll be honest with you. Mike was somebody that we used to go and watch the fights. And then we would go. I had a buddy. His name was Glenn. Shout out to Glenn Cederholm. You know, Pioneer High School. And we used to go to his house. We would watch the fights. And afterwards, everybody would want to fight.
You know what I mean? For sure.
Everybody just
I want to bite people's ears off because of Mike Tyson. So.
Exactly. And Glenn was nuts, right? Yeah. My buddy Glenn, he was so crazy that, talk about good stories. One of these days when I write my book, I got to talk, he's going to have his own chapter in my book, because he ended up getting in a fight one night, probably not far after one of these things. And then he ended up beating up 5 guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 5 guys in a parking lot.
Wow.
And put a couple of them in the hospital.
Wow.
Because he used to train Kaju Kembo. And it was a martial arts that was just about taking people down.
Down, yeah.
And then so when we'd watch these fights, man, he'd just get all into it and stuff. And he was a soccer player who was a goalie and probably like 6'1", about 230.
Big boy.
Big boy, you know, especially in high school.
Yes.
Built. So super strong, powerful, really fast. Ended up going into the Marines. Yeah, and
that's
killing machine. Oh my God. Literally became a killing machine.
Yeah. Yeah, there's him and Jason Statham. Put them together and take out an entire army.
Cool. Yeah, Glenn, we had some stories. So these people that are listening right now that know me from high school, they're like, oh yeah, Glenn, you know, the guy was just a legend for doing crazy shit.
Nice.
But bottom line is we used to watch these fights and then everybody would go outside and you know, like fake box or this or that, you know, throw a little slapping in. And then we would just literally just get so amped up to watch the Mike Tyson fight.
Yep.
And so again, very nostalgic. Love to see him just go over there and whoop some ass. But I do think it's going to be a little bit tougher than everybody thinks for those that are the Mike Tyson fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
last fight I watched was Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather here in Dallas. So at the Cowboys.
Yeah, but that was kind of more of a dancing
exhibition, so to say. I mean, that was, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I hope that's not what this turns into. Because
that's what I was to get into. I hope it's
people,
not.
You know, those Mayweather fights can be a little bit drawn out, exhibition style, quote unquote. So, okay. So I want you to see what you can look into. We got to figure out if we can get some tickets for that.
Yes.
Middle of July. That's probably, is that outdoor?
Oh, indoors.
That's going to be
Cowboy
indoor?
Stadium. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So, because you know that Texas heat in July, man.
Covered stadium.
Be super
hot. Covered stadium. We should go.
So, I mean, we got WWE coming up. We got that. We got the Texas Pro coming up. We have the New York Pro coming up.
Yes.
We have the Pittsburgh Pro coming up.
Yes.
We have so many amazing shows coming up on the bodybuilding, but also talking about some things that are outside of bodybuilding, too, to keep things super excited.
Texas is becoming ground central for everything happening here. You know,
it's kind of crazy,
the UFL
right?
kickoff last weekend, right? So it's just Texas Rangers are champs. You know, they're 2-0 right now. So we're just, Mavericks are seven games undefeated. You know, Kyrie and Luka are just absolutely killing it. Like, sports athletics is where everything is living right now. So,
well, I think that we're going to end up doing something at your show too. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the next podcast.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. More to come on that. But again, guys, what I wanted to do is just bring Freddie on. We talked a little bit about what's coming up with the Pittsburgh Pro, the New York Pro, obviously the Brazil Arnold that's coming up. And I want to be able to also do a little bit more about things that are outside of just bodybuilding. Just the kind of like day-to-day things.
Sure.
And again, listening to some of the comments, that's why I wanted to bring you on, because I think you have a great aspect of a full breadth of knowledge of what's going on. And it's not just all bodybuilding things, but it's obviously, you know, you live and drink and
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, because I always like to, you know, being a promoter now in the sports and fitness world, I always like to say, like, what's next? What is bodybuilding missing? Like, like bodybuilding is entertaining, but what are we missing? Like, what are we, like, you know, when you think about Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul, like, damn, Mike Tyson's going to knock him out. What is bodybuilding missing? Your opinion. Because, I mean, these are Greek gods on stage, right? Like, the world, I mean, you have to love bodybuilding to come watch bodybuilding, talk bodybuilding. But what is bodybuilding missing?
Bodybuilding is missing $1 million first prize.
Soon. No.
Yeah, I mean,
Mr.
the way
Wood,
things are going.
Jake Wood. There we go.
What's going on? But in all honesty, it's going in that direction.
Yep.
I mean, you saw the increase in prize money that Arnold did. Now, it looks like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Olympia, but being able to bring those things up are amazing. But I think on the flip side of that, I think it's about really listening to the fans. I think it's understanding what are the things that people want to see within these contests. I'm a little too close to it. So for me, I grew up bodybuilding.
Yep.
And I, you know, coach, I part of, you know, I've done so many different aspects of and been part of the sport in so many different ways. You know, I've promoted, I have been able to be a supplement company owner. I've done so many different things.
Sure.
But I feel that what we really need to do is we really need to just kind of continue to keep listening. I think Tyler's done a great job with expanding it.
Yes.
And I think
Kudos
that,
Tyler,
you know,
yes.
And I think that I was so excited to hear him say that he wants to go more into the natural, like just expand that portion of it well. Because whenever, you know, in the past, we talked about the NPC, there were some natural shows, but he said during this podcast that they're going to be up to maybe 50 shows.
Yes. Natural, you know, is a focus.
Yeah, natural is a focus to try to really grow that. And I feel like that's super exciting for me. But I don't know, what are you hearing out there as a promoter? What are you thinking that people want to see more of? Is it certain types of entertainment value? Do they, you know, want to see different divisions? What is it that you're hearing?
I'm glad you asked me that question, honey.
Okay.
So let me get there. Before I'm a promoter, I'm a fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I miss? When Kai Greene flipped his dreads and hit Phil and they were about to fight on stage. Like, that's, and Ronnie Coleman coming out at press conference and taking off his shirt, and you know, like that's what I miss, and it doesn't exist today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, we posted a video with Hunter, and I asked Hunter, like, what was the best part of the Texas Pro last year? He goes, bro, I became a bodybuilder. I'm an open pro. Like, I was top five in the world one day, you know, at one Olympia. And you actually fulfilled my childhood dreams of letting us go into the VIP and guest post in the crowd. That's gone. Dude, that's entertainment. You know what I mean? Like, sure, you can buy a ticket to watch these guys on stage, but right. How, like, what's face value? You know, where's the entertainment? Where's mm-hmm. the front double bicep? And I'm going to show you a feather quad or hamstring right before, you know, I give you, like, that doesn't exist right now.
You mean the buildup?
The buildup, yes. Yeah, that entertainment piece, mm-hmm. like, I promise you, if Chris Bumstead took his shirt off his shoulder at the Pittsburgh Pro, he'd break the internet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the stuff I think people want to see. As a promoter now, yes, that adds value. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, the battle, the buildup, the, you know, the draw. I mean, Ronnie used to call anybody out. Jay tipping Ronnie, dude, I get goosebumps still today. And Ronnie, you know, Jay coming back, like, that's bodybuilding. Phil right. winning it, you know, and Phil battling it out. That's why I want to watch his movie on my birthday.
His documentary?
Because that's, I grew up watching movies like that. You know, the buildup. I think that's what bodybuilding is missing. I mean, as a fan, like truly as a fan.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that there's some things that can be done about the buildup. It's just a matter of doing them right.
Yes.
Because I think what ends up happening is you had Vince McMahon who tried to incorporate wrestling with bodybuilding. That didn't work.
No.
Right? Because it was way too scripted. It didn't seem genuine.
Correct.
But I do think that there is ways of doing that to be able to really build things up. And I think that it's just got to be authentic.
Yes.
And people have got to want to lean into it.
Yes.
Meaning the athletes. And but yeah, I think that would be really cool. It's just a matter of seeing what are the options and how to be able to build that up.
You know where I see it?
Hmm.
When Hadi poses off with these guys and that's what you want to see. Now he's not pushing you off stage.
Right.
That's how aggressive Hadi poses. And I think that's what the people want to see. As a fan, that's what I grew up seeing. You know what I mean? Right. Yes, I love posing. I love good posing, the art of posing, the best of the best. They knew how to pose. The Leo Lebradas of the world, the Sean Rodens of the world. You know, I mimic some of my men's physique posing from those guys. But in terms of entertainment, that's what, you know, Arnold, the shit talking that he did.
Oh, he was the king of shit talking.
Correct. Right. So that's, you know, and he gets on stage and he brushes people off. Like, that's what you have to do. You know, at some point, you know, again, you're not disrespecting anything. This is just, you know, a piece of confidence that now becomes entertaining. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's interesting. I think there's definitely a way of being able to get into that, because when we were in the UK, I was able to train with Arnold and with Phil.
Phil, I saw that. Yes.
Training me, they said, "Hey, look, would you like to be a part of their training and be able to just kind of help out, whatnot?" And I was like, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
And what was funny is that Phil was training, and just Arnold's still a fan. He's looking at him. He's like, look at his arms. They're fantastic, you know? And it's just like, and he was still geeking out over Phil.
Yeah.
And they're both 7-time Mr. Olympia.
Yep.
So I turned around and I just thought to myself, I'm like, Arnold is amazing to that, even in his 70s. And I believe he's like 76.
Mm.
And unbeknownst to us, he had a heart condition and he was going to have surgery a couple days later.
Wow.
And I believe he got a pacemaker put in. And knock on wood, you know, everything is going well. And I think he's definitely feeling better just to optimize his heart and some issues that he's had in the past. But he's still a fan. And what I saw was that when Phil was doing curls, I just turned around and I go, come on, Phil, let's go. And Phil was kind of getting into it. And I go, Arnold, Arnold, Arnold. And then afterwards, he kind of, you know, Arnold looks at me and he's like, oh, I get it, right? Like, that's clever.
Yeah.
You know, from the movie,
when,
you know, Pumping Iron back in the day in
75
when Ferrigno and them and his dad were going, Arnold, Arnold. And it was just funny. But like I said, it's hard not to be a fan. And I feel that you're right. I think there was a lot of that shit talking. People were pushing each other.
And it was genuine too.
Yeah.
Like, it was genuine. They truly were like, I'm going to come take you out.
Yeah. I remember George Ferris said that Phil Heath is going to no longer be competing after he was done with him. And in terms of like, okay, he was going to bring Kai in so good that Phil was going to retire. And there was a lot of genuine shit talking at the highest level of that. And those are things that got us going.
Exactly. Right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, you know? So, you know, you watch Rambo and you watch Terminator and then you watch bodybuilding, right? And they're all like, Like that's, I think that's what we're truly missing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wish Jarek Lunsford had a side like that was, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like he's a great guy, like a respect. Yeah. Shout out, because you're a girl dad too, because I'm a girl dad. And see, but I'm like, girl dads rock. Sorry, bro, but I love Cam. And on that note, but I mean, if you were just a little aggressive, like when Phil got up and said, Derek, you need to be looking at that you know, your trophy, the Sandow. Bro, that like I'm over here producing sound, and I had goosebumps when Phil got up and started like shit talking everybody. Like, dude, that's what we're missing. Like what Phil did at last year's press conference is what we're missing in bodybuilding right now.
Yeah, and not everybody's wired that way.
True,
that's the thing about it. Not everybody. I mean, Phil comes out. There's a reason why he's called the Dream Killer. You know, I mean, yes. Phil had a dark side to him.
Yeah,
and Phil brought it out. I mean, he wanted to go off and. Yeah. It was one of those things where you had to like kind of back him off a bit sometimes, but not back him off like, hey, don't do this. It was like, okay, hold on. Okay, now
go. Release. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like release the Kraken.
Yeah.
And then you go out there. But again, even on this documentary, I mean, dude, it's dark.
Yeah.
It's not a like, hey, man, this is what he did and everything else. There were some different points of his life that he went over that were very dark. And I think that's what most people have been very amazed with about this documentary. And being
we call this the truth,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the truth. When you are bodybuilding at that level, there's already a dark side. Like there is no denying that. There is already a dark side, a tunnel that you have to go through to forget everything else to be where you need to be, right? Even if it's small 10%. And I know everybody has it. That's just the normal fact. Like at the end of the day, you can put on a show and be God's child and whatever else. But at the same time, there is a portion of you that's competitive that's put you on the top. And that beast inside of you doesn't have to be dark. It's the truth. That beast needs to be let out. That's just what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think there are a lot of people with potential that can actually elevate that to make this sport entertaining. And if you're on top of the food chain, you know what I mean? Maybe coming in character might make sense. Again, you asked, you know, what do I think? That's what I think bodybuilding is missing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but let me tell you why Phil was the way he was. Phil was the golden child.
Mm.
In the very beginning, everybody loved Phil. 2009, 2010, yes. 2011, 2010. He could have possibly dethroned Jay. They were really great friends. Then next thing you know, flip the script. Phil wins 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Jay has the bicep tear. Obviously, I know the story very, very well because I coached both of them. And then when Generation Iron happened, and then he became villainized because of the movie,
yes.
The docudrama.
Yes.
And they said, act this way, be this way. And then he got the bad end of just the dirty end of the stick when it came to, hey, look, this guy is a villain. He played the villain. And what happened is he ended up becoming that person.
Mm.
And I've talked about this many times on the podcast. So then at that point, it was like you see him like, you know, lash out at people online because it's like, how do you deal with that? Nobody knew how to deal with that He was the first internet, the first social media champion. Dorian didn't have to deal with that. Ronnie Coleman didn't have to deal with that.
Sure,
Jay didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
None of the guys before him had to deal with it. So now it's all forward facing on social media. So he went from the golden child that everybody loved. And they're like, oh, the green eyed champ, this and that and everything else. Everybody was in love with him. And then to all of a sudden, now they're like bad Phil because Kai is good. Phil is bad.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden Phil drives a Bentley, you know, takes the bus. Which wasn't true, okay? Wasn't true. But the whole point is
that's what we saw, though.
But because of that frustration, what he did, he went super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He internalized it, and then what he did is he just took it out on the weights.
Yeah.
I just remember one of the videos that we shot. I can't remember which one it was. And he's on the side of putting on the plates. I think it was an incline hammer strength press. And he puts a plate on, and then he puts a second plate on. Then he puts a third plate on, and then I think it was like the third or fourth plate. And then he's like, yeah, honey, yeah. And he's just shaking that those plates because he's just like, yeah, dude, these guys don't know what's coming. I'm going to tear their heads off like Mortal Kombat. I mean, but it
absolutely.
Was the frustration of him being villainized because of a movie turned him into like, you know, it was basically Spawn.
Yeah.
Right? You just turn around, you know, I call him Venom sometimes. When Venom comes out, that's what he would turn into. And I've had a handful of athletes I've worked with, even in the NFL, that would like that. And they were a completely different person when they would get ready to get on the field. and they would try to turn around and play defense, and they would knock the shit out of people. But when you met him, hey, man, super nice guy, but they would become a completely different person, and they would become the assassin out there on the field. And Pro Bowl guys, won Super Bowls, all of these things. Maybe I got to get one of them out here to do the podcast with me. We talk about how when I was coaching NFL guys.
Yes.
But what ended up happening was that they would turn into something from all of the frustrations from when they were younger, from when they were picked on, when they were teased. Yep. All of those things came out. And, you know, lo and behold, the brutal wrath of all of that coming down on you when you're getting hit by an NFL safety or you're coming across the middle and someone's going to just tear your head off. That's what would happen. And with Phil, that you want to get up on stage and then he's going to pick you apart and he's going to show every single one of your flaws. That's what would happen. And that's also Hottie. Yes. Hottie's that way too.
Yes.
Derek's a bit more composed. Seabum's a bit more composed about how they handle what they go through. But you can turn around. Seabum does it with a smirk.
Yes.
Right? He just
that's
like.
What, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like that side smirk with a stash. I mean, yeah,
that's right.
He's like, I'm owning you right now, you know?
That's it. And Seabum, when he got that smirk, you better watch out because he knows he's on.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn around and he's going to tear your ass apart.
Yes.
You know? And so it's just what happens. And Derek, you know, he was definitely pumped at the Olympia where he was just like, dude, he knows it's close.
Yes.
And he's going to go for it. And he's going to, it's all war. So I think they all have their own ways of doing things. But again, going back, because I know Phil, and then because of the movie and because, you know, Phil and I spent time together in the UK and then they released the film there and being able to watch it with Jay and with, you know, everybody in there. You have Steve Weinberger in there. You have The Rock talking a little bit about it. All of those different things. What you really start to do is you start to go back and you really appreciate all the accomplishments that he made during that reign and going seven straight. And then saying, okay, what did he have to do? He had to go into that dark side because there was a lot of frustration there from all of the things that have happened to him.
Yeah.
You know, losing his father, you know, shout out to him and, you know, rest in peace to his pops from a couple of days ago. Was his 10-year. I believe it was 10 years since he had passed away.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, everything is just a completely different human being when you turn that energy.
I agree.
And focus.
I use Phil's, so I'm a Jay Phil era in terms of bodybuilding. I mean, first time I saw Ronnie Coleman was at Applebee's when I saw his calves sticking out because I went to UTA here in Arlington, right? But I'm a Jay and Phil era, I should say. I focus so much on Phil's training and his mentality of training. Guess what's the first pro show I won? The Phil Heath Pro-Am. He gave me my award for qualification for
Mr. What year was that?
2016.
Wow.
How crazy is that? That's why I'm a fan of Phil. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I miss. You know, I never want to intrude on Phil whenever I see him. I shake hands and we have great conversations. But I think that's what's missing. And again, maybe that's the next, you know, whoever's coming out of the woodworks to, you know. But that I think that's what bodybuilding needs, right?
Yeah.
I think what bodybuilding, that's what bodybuilding.
So let's put it this way. If you're already that way, you don't need to hide it.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
Yes. But
if you're not that way, try not to be that way just to be that way because it's not going to be a good look.
It's forcing it. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. And that's where I think that's the difference.
I think Andrew Jack's going to be the next guy.
You think so?
I think
he's too chill, bro.
I think he's going to be so lethal. I think he's going to be so lethal.
I'm not saying he can't be lethal on stage. I'm just saying, dude, the guy's going to, he's like a giant teddy bear. Bro.
I know.
He's just such a nice guy.
But I think he's holding back. Like once
is he still working with Lewis?
Maybe. I mean, Chris trains him.
Okay.
I think Chris Aceto was his coach and Chris Lewis was like his training partner or whatever.
Okay.
I
so does he still dynamic. Have that team?
Is
he
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't been up on like, because I know there's people that have been shuffling around.
Yeah.
I know the Milo situation happened too.
Yeah.
That's another podcast, guys. I know you guys, you know, I would love to give you my take on that too. That I want to give you my take on the whole situation with the Samson Dauda, Milo Sarchev thing. Because I think that this watching that gives me a lot of perspective, and so I definitely
that's for another day.
Yeah,
I mean that's a whole nother conversation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But guys, let us know what kind of subjects you like us talking about. Okay. If you like the format, make sure you'll go down into the comments below. If you're listening to the podcast, go to the YouTube page and make sure you comment. And again, I'm going to put Freddie's link on here on his Instagram page too. And we're going to do a big build up for the Texas Pro that's coming up. So, Freddie, thank you again, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We got a lot more things to talk about.
And one of many for 2024.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely need to get you back on here. And then we'll talk a little bit about the
coaching. Thank you for having me, guys. Yeah. Be safe.
Hani Rambod, Freddie, that's the truth.